make you think twice, and maybe even three times. Here's the Healthy Skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Have you decided that vaccinating your child against something is not something you'd like to do? What if you're told by your child's school or doctor that you have to, or your child cannot attend school? Alan Phillips, Esquire, advises individuals, families, and attorneys throughout the United States on vaccine exemption and waiver rights. Counselor, tell us a little bit about what these exemption and waiver rights are, and define the words for us, please.
Sure. If I may, let me give you a quick sense of the scope of the issue, because I was quite surprised when I got involved with this issue legally. I actually went back to school after being out for 17 years, primarily because of the vaccine issue, and picked law school because of it. So it's a personal passion of mine as well as my professional pursuit. Well, vaccines
did they require new immunizations for you to go back to school?
They did, and there was an exemption option, and the option the school gave me technically violated the state law, but I chose, it turned out to be something I could do, mm-hmm. and I chose not to argue with the people who would potentially be giving me the law license or the law degree that would enable me then to formally argue that at another time.
So, this was an attorney who consciously chose to not argue. So first,
believe it or not, it is possible.
please continue.
So there are over a dozen different contexts and subcontexts where vaccines are required in the U.S. Obviously, people are aware that for daycare and school enrollment around the country, but also for college and increasingly in the workplace, sometimes by state law, sometimes by company policy, but we're seeing this with healthcare workers around the country increasingly being required to get influenza shots or lose their job. Vaccines are required for not just military members, but military families if they're being transported overseas. Of course, kids in military schools and civilian contractors. It's required for at least the legal immigrants, and that includes a subcategory of foreign adoption. So there are just many, many different categories where U.S. law requires people to be vaccinated. Every single category offers a medical exemption. What qualifies is going to potentially vary with a particular situation. Most of these categories will offer religious exemption. And then with school exemptions, about 20 states offer a personal or philosophical exemption. There's what for me as an attorney is a disturbing trend in this area, in that states are responding to growing awareness and increasing exemption rates by revising exemption laws to make it harder to get exemptions, trying to maintain high immunization rates. But some of these laws, in my humble but adamant opinion, violate constitutional rights. So we have some challenging issues going on in that respect, that as state legislatures, fueled, I'm sure, largely by the pharmaceutical industry and perhaps other healthcare lobbies, are testing the boundaries, let's say, by, in my opinion, overstepping boundaries. And there's an interesting reality about the way the political system works that allows this to happen. State legislators around the country take an oath to uphold the state and federal constitutions, but a law is not officially unconstitutional unless a court says so. So state legislators can pass any law they get the votes for, whether it's constitutional or not. And if we agree or if we believe it's unconstitutional, it's up to us to get it in front of a court and see if the judge agrees with us, or to get the legislator to fix it. But
Alan,
yes.
Can you give us a real life example of something that may have happened with a case that you've dealt with, let's say in the last few weeks, something that we can actually relate to?
Well, let me mention, if I may, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services has a goal to vaccinate all of the nation's healthcare workers. Their specific goal is 90%. 90% of the nation's healthcare workers annually with the flu vaccine by 2020. And they have a separate goal of having 80% of the rest of the U.S. population, adult population, vaccinated with flu vaccines annually by the year 2020. And what is happening then is each year for the last few years, there's been a new wave of hospitals that are mandating the flu vaccine for healthcare workers. But this is something that is going to be coming for all of us, all U.S. employees. They're just starting with the healthcare workers because they're going to use the healthcare worker community as a model to the rest of the nation. Look, all the healthcare workers are getting their vaccines. You should get your vaccine too. But what I see that is disturbing for me is that hospitals around the country, they're implementing religious exemption policies, for example, religious and medical exemption policies. But the religious exemption policies in particular, the vast majority of the time, from what I've seen in my practice, and I've worked with over 300 healthcare workers around the country now over the last 3 or 4 years, so I have a pretty good sampling of what's going on. Most of these policies are overly restrictive. They're violating federal civil rights law, doing things like requiring someone for a religious exemption to have support from a member of the clergy, whereas under the freedom of religion and the First Amendment of the Constitution, it doesn't matter if you belong to any organized religion at all. So there's a real interesting learning curve that people on all sides of this issue are involved in. Hospitals are finding their way around, but they tend to, the administrators, of course, are trying to maximize the immunization rates. So they're starting with very aggressive policies. And I see trends in different aspects of this. For example, hospitals have been recommending flu shots for the employees for probably years, I guess, now. And they're tending now to move into more aggressive recommendations and then into actual mandates. They're not all getting there at the same time, but they all seem to be moving generally, at least, in the same direction. And there's something that has gone on with the medical exemptions as well, whereas they used to be really flexible and allow allergies, for example, to be a basis for refusing flu shots. Well, now they have a flu shot that's not cultured in eggs, and so they say, we've got one you can get, and they're not accepting allergies, and they're moving to strict medical exemption policy. We've got to have a history of anaphylactic shock or history of Guillain-Barré syndrome from a flu shot to get an exemption. And this is troubling. Like, I had one nurse client who had letters from three different medical doctors saying, for medical reasons, this nurse should not get the flu vaccine at work. And the hospital said, we don't care. You don't meet our standard. So you've got to get the shot or you're fired. So it's a very aggressive arena. And a lot of people, you know, I'm sure are saying, well, I'm not a healthcare worker, so, you know, thank goodness I don't have to worry about that. But I just want to say they're starting with the healthcare workers, but the goal extends out to all employees in the U.S. So this is something we're going to be seeing more and more of, I think, over the next 5 or so years as we move closer to 2020, and they're trying to reach that 90% with healthcare workers and 80% with the rest of the U.S. adult population, those goals.
Alan, last question. One word. And you can go on with it. Ebola.
Oh boy, that is such a loaded one. We saw,
yes,
with the swine flu pandemic, we saw a false declaration of pandemic. And I'm going to talk about swine flu because I don't have a lot to say yet about Ebola, because I think there's a lot that we have yet to see how this plays out and where it goes. But by way of historical example, the World Health Organization changed its definition of level 6 pandemic, the highest level, so that a very mild disease would qualify. The swine flu was less virulent than the seasonal flu. But when they changed that definition and declared it level 6, it triggered contract clauses with the pharmaceutical industry and countries around the world for the sale of $18 billion worth of vaccines, most of which were never even administered. So what happened with Ebola is that the vaccine manufacturers said, well, we don't want to get into Ebola because there's not a market for it. Well, now they're going to, whether it's really happening or not, we're going to be hearing about it more and more because that's going to create the market.
Alan, thank you so much for your time. If you want to learn more about your rights, please visit Alan's website at vaccinerights.com. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you to never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends. And stay well.